Hello, and welcome to the Message Share Ministry of Sovereign Grace Baptist Church. After some congregational singing, you will hear a worship service and Bible teaching. Our speaker is Richard Waltz, who is an elder and the pastor of the church.
This morning we continue our journey through the book of Daniel. And we're going to look at the first three verses of chapter 9 of the book of Daniel. 70 years accomplished. God accomplishes his sovereign purpose regardless of the opposition of men or devils. And sometimes God's timetable seems to work very slowly according to our perspective, but everything is in God's perfect timing. Daniel came to understand that in his 70 years of captivity. Thus, he was able to trust in the marvelous grace of the Lord. The hymn is 705. As Daniel saw the prophecies of God being fulfilled in his daily experiences, he was confronted with the need for personal and national repentance. He turned to a humble, contrite appeal to the Lord to fulfill his promises, to accomplish his purposes, and to bring Daniel safely through this new transition. And likewise, we need to recognize God's sovereign hand, but we also need to acknowledge our dependence upon Him for His mercy and His grace. Daniel confessed that he had not served as he ought. He had not loved the Lord as he ought. He had not feared the Lord as he ought. And likewise, we need to have the same approach as we approach the throne of grace, the throne of mercy. The hymn is 418. And as Daniel did not always understand the purpose of God in the events that unfolded around him, so too we don't have all the answers. The scripture says we see as through a glass darkly when it comes to biblical prophecy and some of the promises of God's word. And yet, nevertheless, we can trust in his sovereign purpose. He will accomplish his will. He will do all things for his glory and ultimately for our good. And thus, when we have questions, when we have doubts, when we have fears, we need to simply trust and obey. The hymn is 700. Thank you. Please stand. We're going to ask Dan to read this passage this morning. It's Daniel chapter 9, verses 1 through 3.
In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years, whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God, to seek by prayer and supplications, with fasting and sackcloth and ashes.
Amen. Thank you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the account of Daniel, the testimony of your faithfulness, the ability that you have to fulfill all that you have promised. And as we recognize that what you said you would do in the past, you brought to be, and that what you have promised for the future, you are certainly able to perform. And we know that you will do that which you have said you will do. Help us to be faithful. Help us to acknowledge our dependence upon your sovereign purpose, upon your providence, upon your sustaining grace, even as Daniel regarded such as the enabling power in his life. We pray that you would guide and direct us through your word, even as you guided Daniel. And fill us with your spirit that we might be more like Christ in every thought, word, and deed. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Before we turn to Daniel 9, we commemorate a date in history. November 5th, the year 1818, was the date of the ordination of a man who was a missionary to what then was termed Palestine. His name was Pliny Fisk. Pliny Fisk was born in Massachusetts in the year 1792. And as a young man, he was a pleasant young man, a seemingly clean-cut gentleman, and yet he did not have a saving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And at about age 16, he came under conviction. He realized that he did not have saving faith. But for a few weeks, he struggled with the issue and resisted the gospel message. But finally, he surrendered. And he trusted Christ for his salvation. He realized that it could not be by his own works. He later wrote that had it not been for the regenerating power of the Spirit of God, he would have never chosen Christ. And thus he acknowledged that salvation is of the Lord. But as he grew in his knowledge and grace of the Lord, he felt a burden for souls. And he felt the call to the mission field. He graduated from Andover Theological Seminary and was ordained in Salem, Massachusetts at Tabernacle Church and sent to the mission field. He and a friend of his went off together. In the year 1819, they headed for Turkey to engage in language studies to better prepare them for the work of the missions in the Middle East. And he and his friend Levi were adversely affected by the climate in Turkey. They went to Egypt to try to recover. And his friend Levi died of fever there. He went on to Jerusalem, and though many advised him to settle in Jerusalem, he felt the call of the Lord to go on to Beirut, what is now in Lebanon. And he settled in Beirut, began translation studies, began to distribute Bibles. There was a great deal of hostility to the Word of God. The Roman Catholics in the region urged all the Muslims to buy up his Bibles and his translated materials and to burn them. He continued there. In 1824, he was actually arrested for distributing banned materials in that Muslim region. He was later released. He had one convert during his 5 years of ministry. And that convert was soon martyred for his faith. He continued his translation efforts. He nearly compiled a English-Lebanese dictionary. And then he was taken ill with a very high fever. Near the end, he wrote that his life was full of God's mercy and his sin. And he was trusting in the unmerited mercy of God for his future. Pliny Fisk died at the age of 33. What many would regard as a failed missionary venture. But when he died, the Lebanese people lowered their flags to half-mast. And one Arab said, "Now who will preach the gospel to us? I never heard a man explain the word of God like Mr. Fisk." So there was a long-lasting impact. It laid the foundation for others who would follow behind him. And thus, contrary to the world's assessment, the life and the faith and the ministry of Pliny Fisk was not in vain. Now we turn to the book of Daniel. Daniel 9, verses 1 to 3. 70 years accomplished. And this title may have some significance to a spiritual application as well for our own lives, because after all, the scripture says that it is generally allotted unto every human being 70 and 10, and if by reason of strength, 80. So 70 to 80 years of life is generally what we might expect. Sometimes he grants additional time, sometimes he grants less. But at the end of the previous chapter, we saw that Daniel had committed to serving the king. He was very active in this new administration, this reign of Darius the Mede. At the end of the reign of Belshazzar, that wicked king of the Chaldeans, Daniel, unlike most of the ministers and the princes and all of the officials of the Babylonian kingdom, Daniel made the transition. By God's grace, he was preserved in his position of influence, and he set about to serve the king. And yet we see in this chapter, as chapter 9 begins, that he's also engaged in a higher calling. He's not given up his commitment to his heavenly kingdom, to his heavenly citizenship. And that's a lesson to us, that whatever pursuits that we have in this world are higher calling. Even while doing those necessary things of daily living and daily survival, we must never neglect our commitment and our service to our heavenly King of Kings. Daniel did not neglect his spiritual responsibilities as he pursued his daily responsibilities in the civil government of the Medes. And thus, as we are in the world but not of the world, we must never neglect what God has called us to be the salt and to be the light of this dark world, to be a testimony, to be a witness of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done in the lives of ourselves and our families and even our nation. And thus, Daniel was committed to serving the Lord. As an old man, probably approaching now 90 years old, he still had a purpose. He still had a job to do. And he continued doing that with the dependence upon Almighty God. With the enabling strength of the power of the Spirit of God, Daniel remained a faithful servant to the end. We read here that this is in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, who had been given control of the realm of the Chaldeans. This is the year 538. And this is, again, a reference to that same Darius of Daniel chapter 5, verse 2, Darius the Mede. Here, it's a little bit different description of him, however. It says that this Darius is the son of Ahasuerus. And some immediately confuse the reference here to that Ahasuerus of the book of Esther. But this is not the case. Ahasuerus seems to be a Median or a Persian term for king, or for the ruler. It was not the given name of the father of Darius. Indeed, Darius the Mede does not seem to be, from the accounts of most, the consensus of most historians, Darius the Mede was not his real name. He is generally regarded to be that Cyaxares II of history, the son of Astyages. And thus, Astyages was the Ahasuerus of this verse 1 of chapter 9. And Darius of Daniel 5, 2 and 9, 1 is Cyaxares II. But as we shall see, all of this falls within the timetable established by God himself. It was in the first year of Darius, the seed of the Medes. He was of that first little horn in that two-horned beast that emerged after the fall of Babylon. The Medes were in control for the first several years, actually about a two-year period. And then Cyrus came to power. Cyrus the Persian. And in the vision that we've looked at in several different aspects over previous weeks, that larger horn that came up after the first horn of that ram, the Persian Empire was born. And the primary leader of that kingdom was Cyrus. But through it all, we see the sovereign purpose of God unfolding. Because it was in this context, in the first year of this Darius, the Mede, the son of Ahasuerus, that Daniel committed to his study of the Word of God. It said that he gained through a reading of the books an enlightening, an understanding, and an application of that prophecy of the Word of God that had been delivered unto the prophet Jeremiah, nearly 70 years before. Prior to the fall and the destruction of Jerusalem, Jeremiah had prophesied several significant things. In Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 12, Jeremiah had said that when 70 years would be accomplished, he would punish the king of Babylon and the nation and make it a perpetual desolation. And now we come to the year 538, the first year of Darius. And we see that these events have already come to pass. In the previous year, Cyrus, the Persian king, had conquered Babylon. Belshazzar had been killed. And Darius placed his uncle, or I'm sorry, Cyrus placed his uncle Darius on the throne. And thus, this fulfillment and what Daniel observed, that in the first year of Darius the Mede, the son of Ahasuerus, he set about studying the Word of God, and he realized that God's purpose was falling into place. God's prophecy of the 70 years accomplished was about to be fulfilled. Biblical prophecy is never understood at its ultimate fullest until it occurs. There are many people who speculate the meanings of various prophecies. Books and movies and all kinds of sensational stuff can be found with regard to future applications yet unaccomplished, yet unfulfilled, regarding biblical prophecy. But we must understand, even from this passage in the book of Daniel, that even Daniel, the prophet of God, didn't fully understand. When the angel came, when the angel Gabriel gave him a message of what was the true meaning of the dream, Daniel's conclusion at the end of chapter 8 is that still none understood it. But when the events happened, when Darius came to the throne, when Cyrus defeated Belshazzar and killed Belshazzar and the remainder of the Babylonian, the Chaldean nobility, then Daniel began to see what was meant by some of these prophetic utterances that the prophet Jeremiah had uttered 70 years before. And they came to fulfillment. God did indeed punish the wicked Belshazzar. He was put to death by the conquering Persian army. Babylon was made a desolation. Indeed, the city of Babylon was ultimately under the power and the invading forces of the Persians. It was laid waste. It was torn to the ground, to the point that the city of Babylon, that one of the great ancient wonders of the world, has never been restored. Babylon itself has never been rebuilt. And thus, Jeremiah's assessment, the judgment upon Babylon for what they did to Jerusalem, though they did it within the restraint and the constraints of God's purpose, in that he used them to inflict the chastening hand upon Judah, upon Jerusalem, upon the Jewish people, for their rejection of his warnings and his truth, for the way in which they treated his own prophets. Nevertheless, though they had accomplished the task which had been given to them, they were also held accountable by God, a holy and a righteous God, for the way in which they carried out that task. They had done it with utter cruelty and ferocity. They had inflicted much pain and suffering, far more than what would have been required in accomplishing God's purpose of chastening the people of Israel. And thus they were held accountable by this holy and righteous God. And 70 years later, the prophetic word of Jeremiah came to fulfillment. Belshazzar was put to death. The Babylonian kingdom fell. That great head of gold that Nebuchadnezzar had seen nearly 60 years before is now gone. It's supplanted, it's replaced by a lesser kingdom, the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians. And thus God accomplished what he had said he would do. Jeremiah 25:12. Babylon was made a desolation. and never recovered. But Jeremiah also had some other things. This says that Daniel read in the books. And there's some conjecture as to which books Daniel was reading at this particular time. The canon of Scripture had not yet been compiled in its entirety, as we now know, the Word of God. But nevertheless, God preserved the prophetic writings of His prophets. The books which Daniel referenced could have been a compilation of Jeremiah's writings. They could have been what later became the books of Jeremiah and Lamentations. They could have been other books about the writings of Jeremiah. At this particular time in Jewish history, they did not have the Talmud and all of the rabbinical writings, but nevertheless, it's entirely possible that those faithful remnant who had been transported to Babylon may have had some writings of the faithful servants of God regarding what Jeremiah had prophesied. And that's a reminder to us that sometimes there is value in the writings of others. We are cautioned regularly about depending unnecessarily upon commentaries. Certainly there's a danger in that. There's a danger of being led astray by commentaries or by historical Christian fiction, so to speak. But nevertheless, there are lessons that can be learned from the writings of others, particularly the writings of other godly individuals. And thus, we must recognize that while our ultimate source of revelation of wisdom and truth is the Word of God itself, nevertheless, if we read with discernment, if we read with understanding, and if we read with an openness to the application of Scripture to whatever we read, then there might be some usefulness. And Daniel read his books, and he came across these references to this prophecy of Jeremiah, Jeremiah 25:12. But he also came across Jeremiah 29:10. And Jeremiah 29:10 said that after these things are accomplished, after these 70 years have been accomplished, then I will visit you. And he will perform his word which he had previously delivered. And he would cause them to return. And this lit up that light bulb of understanding in Daniel's memory, in Daniel's mind. He immediately saw that by 538, after these 70 years had been accomplished, a year after Belshazzar had been put down, there had now been put in his place one who was made to be the king over the realm of the Chaldeans. This too is kind of code language for what really happened. Darius didn't conquer Babylon. He was a son of a king, but he didn't inherit the kingly lineage of Nebuchadnezzar and his son and his grandson Belshazzar. The one who was made to have control over the realm of the Chaldeans was this Darius, who was given control in the first 2 years of the conquest of Cyrus the Persian. He called up his uncle Cyrus and said, "Cyrus, I have a job for you." And he put him in over the control of what formerly had been the Babylonian Empire. And Darius reigned in that capacity for 2 years. Cyrus himself reigned for a period of 9 years. And he died in 529 B.C. But Daniel had come to an understanding that this was the fulfillment of that prophecy of Jeremiah 29:10. That after these 70 years were accomplished, then he would visit them. Then he would raise up that one whom he had previously promised, would be the one who would be called his servant and who would give forth the command, who would say to Jerusalem, rebuild your walls, who would say to the temple, lay your foundations. In Isaiah chapter 44, verse 28, the Lord had named Cyrus nearly 200 years before his birth, and he had identified the one who, after all of those prophecies of judgment and chastening were carried out upon Jerusalem for their wickedness, for their disobedience, for their idolatry, for their failure to repent, for their failure to do what God had called them to do. God had told Isaiah in chapter 44 that there would be one, yet nearly 200 years hence into the future, one who would be called Cyrus and one who would be called his servant. Cyrus was never a true, faithful servant of God. And yet when the kings of this world do that which has been commanded of them and required of them by God, they may be viewed as the servants of the Most High. Cyrus did that which he was purposed by God to accomplish. He did that which God called him to do. And when the time came, in 536, Darius the Mede is now dead. Cyrus is now in full control of the entire empire of the Medes and the Persians. That larger horn had risen up and taken control of the other half of the empire, merged and united the power of the Medes and the Persians, and then Cyrus issued the order in his first year. Ezra chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 make reference to that first year of Cyrus. We've already said that this vision of Daniel, or this writing with reference to the 70 years accomplished, is in 538, the first year of Darius. And yet Ezra says that in the first year of Cyrus, which would have been 2 years later, because they ruled jointly for 2 years, and then Cyrus, in complete control of the entire empire, and thus in his first year, Ezra 1, he issued that order, which had been prophesied in Isaiah 44, which God himself knew from before the foundation of the world. Cyrus did that which God had purposed him to do. He provided the sanction, the seal of the unbreakable word of the Persian monarch. It could not be changed, it could not be altered, and even when those wicked men under the leadership of Sanballat and others sought to challenge it years later, it was a command which could not be broken, it could not be overturned. Cyrus issued his command, and he put the full authority of the Persian Empire behind the mission. He equipped them with supplies, he provided them with lumber and skilled tradesmen, and those who were able to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, who were ultimately able to rebuild the great temple of Jerusalem itself. And Ezra and Nehemiah and Joshua were escorted by the protective presence of the Persian army as they navigated the dangerous trek back to Jerusalem. And as there were many enemies in the area who did not wish to see a restoration of the Jewish temple, nevertheless, Cyrus had pronounced it and had said, let it be so. And there was nothing that could prevent thus the accomplishment of God's word. Cyrus was used by God to bring to pass that visitation upon his faithful remnant, upon his people, that he had promised through Jeremiah 70 years before. The word of God was accomplished. 70 years were accomplished. And thus, all of that time in captivity was not a waste. It was not a failure. Daniel had been proven to be faithful time and time again. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had proven to be faithful time and time again. There were several, and some would say many, within the Babylonian Empire who came to a saving faith in the God of the Bible because of the faithful testimony and witness of men such as Daniel and such as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Likewise, we are to be a light in the world in which we live, that God, by His grace, might use even us. Even as Daniel often says, even I, Daniel. He was sometimes amazed at God's sovereign purpose in using even a man such as himself for such a great purpose. And Daniel marveled at times at the fact that God would use him, even him, to do that which he had purposed, to confirm his own word, and to bring to pass in the lives of such great rulers of this earth as Nebuchadnezzar, to provide a faithful testimony that transformed the lives even of such mighty, powerful men. Likewise, the Lord instructed us to not be concerned with what we shall say when we are called before princes and kings and magistrates, for in that day he will give us the words which we are to say. And thus we are to be diligent. Like Daniel, we are to fortify ourselves with the word of God. And we are to recognize that there is a higher calling, there's a higher kingdom than the kingdoms in which we operate, the nations in which we live. There's a sovereign one who never shall give up his throne. He shall never end his eternal authority. And thus we are subject to him, we are accountable to him, and we are to recognize that he will accomplish his purpose in whatever time we are allotted, just as he did in the allocated time of Daniel in that 70 years of service of captivity in Babylon. The Lord accomplished what he purposed to do. And this is a reminder to us of the need to accomplish the will of God and the word of God in our own lives. In whatever time we have, we are to do his will. But we're not to take credit for that which is done for ourselves. For this passage says that it was God who accomplished it. It was God who performed it. It was God who brought to pass all that he had purposed to do. Daniel merely recognized it and submitted to it and sought God's wisdom and understanding in discerning it as it unfolded. But as he saw these things occur, verse 3 tells us that he set his face toward the Lord. He didn't pat himself on the back and jump for joy and say, "We're going back to Jerusalem." Daniel himself never made it back. But he recognized the signs of the times. He recognized what God was doing in the world events around him. He recognized that God had fully predicted everything that was happening. And as it was still yet 2 years from Cyrus's full ascension to the throne, at that point in 538 BC, there was no real indication that Darius was going to leave the scene, that Cyrus would be the one who was calling the shots and making the orders and doing that which ultimately came to be. Some would have gotten pessimistic and grumbling and say, "Well, now we got another delay. What's going on here?" But Daniel did not lose heart. He recognized that God was at work. God was accomplishing that which he had said he would do. He had put down the Babylonian king Belshazzar. He had destroyed that empire. And thus, he was yet doing that which he had promised. And Daniel set his face towards God. He resolved to seek the Lord's face, to seek the Lord's will. And we see the way in which he did it. He did it with prayer. He did it with humility. He did it with sackcloth and ashes, confessing his own sin, confessing the sins of his people, glorifying God for his faithfulness, that despite those sins, despite our own inabilities, God has mercy. God accomplishes that which he purposes to do. He uses us, even us fallen human beings, to accomplish his word and his purpose, and he brings glory to himself through it all. Daniel submitted to the will of God. He surrendered to the will of God. He prayed for wisdom. He prayed for direction. He prayed for strength. And likewise, we need to seek the Lord's will and the Lord's enabling power, the Lord's discernment, so that we too, like Daniel, might do the Lord's will. Daniel was a faithful servant. Daniel understood from his reading of the Word of God those promises of God from the previous generation, from 70 years before. God brought to pass all that he had promised with regard to his prophet Jeremiah. He accomplished that which he had said he would do with regard to revisiting his people and bringing that faithful remnant back to Jerusalem. Cyrus issued that order 2 years later in 536 B.C. Daniel lived to see that proclamation. And thus we need to acknowledge God's hand in the events that we experience as well. We need to, like Daniel, submit to the will of God. Have thine own way, Lord. The hymn is 574.
Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Do we have any thoughts this morning concerning 70 years accomplished?
Thank you for listening to this message share recording from the pulpit of Sovereign Grace Baptist Church. You are invited to join us in the assembly at 325 Yetter Road, Muncie, off John Brady Drive at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. every Lord's Day. For further information, call 570-435-2276 or email sgbc@localchurchpa.com. Check out our website at www.localchurchpa.com.